The MK Mental Health Hour with Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and MKFM.
Good evening, it's Leah with you for another MK Mental Health Hour for your Sunday. We do this every single Sunday evening at 7 o'clock with John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support.
The MK Mental Health Hour and MKFM.
Hello, John.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. So this evening we're going to be talking about children and social media because it is Children Mental Health Week this week.
It is, yeah, all week. And it's just such a massive topic and it's getting more and more impactful as time goes on by the looks of things. So we wanted to cover that.
Definitely.
And really look at what parents can get in place, what children can also consider if they're listening or young people. So hopefully it's kind of for everybody.
Definitely. So there'll be something in it for everybody this evening, so do stay tuned. We're going to be hearing from Joe from the Safety Centre from Hazard Alley, it's also known as, very shortly. But before we get into all of that, John, any updates on Arthur Ellis? Tell us a little bit about what you guys do.
Yeah, so we are, there's a lot of children who might not meet thresholds for mental health support across the country, Milton Keynes included in that. So we are building a support service for them. So we have a one-to-one emotional support service for adults and children in Milton Keynes. And we run that as free and subsidised sessions for children by doing a lot of mental health training with organisations, and we're looking at a sponsorship model so that companies can support local children. So we're just setting that up. So that's been a bit of a looking at payment systems, and that's kind of my job as
all that fun stuff.
The director, like looking at forms and looking at all of the payment systems.
But it has grown and developed so much over the last year or
so.
And you've got some really exciting stuff coming up in the next few months as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of different organisations. So I do some talks and we do loads of training workshops. So we're looking with some very big organisations to do some roadshows around the country. We're also upping our work with the NHS, so the local NHS. And we've got a few meetings next month to extend the GP surgeries that can refer into us, as well as looking at some more embedded support for the children of Milton Keynes. So there's a lot to come.
Fantastic.
And we've got a lot to do, but it's really exciting for everyone.
And if people want to find out more details about the work that you do, they can do that over on your website?
Yes, so they can head over to arthurellismhs.com.
Brilliant. Well, now would be a lovely time to introduce our other guest in the studio, lovely Joe from Hazard Alley, better known as, well, Safety Centre, sorry, better known as Hazard Alley. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Leah.
Lovely to see you.
Lovely to be here.
So if people haven't heard about the Safety Centre and the work that you do, give us a bit of an insight.
Hazard Alley is an interactive safety education centre built for children in the early 90s. So we're 26 years old this year.
And it's still a lot of fun.
It is. It's huge
so
amounts of fun. The best school trip ever, it is often described as. So lots of children aged between 6 and 12 come and visit us. They go through the 12 safety scenarios in Hazard Alley. So there's a street, houses, road crossings, water, railway crossing and so on, a telephone box to make a 999 call. So they go through all the scenarios in groups with volunteer tour guides who help them understand about risks and hazards in everyday situations.
And these really are lifelong skills. I mean, children come to you and they learn some of those fantastic things and they take them right the way through their lives.
Absolutely. We know children have gone away and acted on things that they've learned. So a child put every single member of her family into the recovery position.
Wow.
Having been on a tour, for example. Gosh. We know children have dialed 999 for real, having practiced doing it when they've come to us. So hopefully everything they learn will stay with them for when they need it, because you never know when you're going to need to know how to do something in an emergency situation. So.
Absolutely. And looking after your mental health, obviously something that we're talking much more about these days, and it's something that you look at the Safety Centre as well. You run different workshops and things for mental health.
We do. We've actually got in Hazard Alley itself, one scenario, House 8, is all about internet safety. So we do teach every child that comes, learns about the importance of good, strong passwords, not giving too much personal information away, not trusting who they're talking to online. So every child gets 10 minutes when they come on a tour. But then we do workshops both at the centre and out in schools. And we do briefing sessions for parents. So schools can arrange for their parents to have a session at school.
Wow.
And learn more themselves.
Well, it's so important. And you actually have some quite shocking statistics that you've brought along with you today that actually say the amount of people that use social media and things. Tell us a little bit about those.
52% of 3 to 4 year olds are going online.
Wow. 3 to 4 year olds. That just sounds so young, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And 99% of 12 to 15 year olds. That's nearly every single 12 to 15 year old is online. So it's not something we can prevent.
No.
What we need to be doing is giving kids the skills, knowledge, attitudes to be able to keep themselves safe online.
Well, that is exactly what we're going to be doing throughout the show this evening. And we're going to be talking all about the impact that that has after Will Smith. This is Miami on MKFM. Sounding very nice for your Sunday evening, Will Smith and Miami on MKFM. So this evening on the MK Mental Health Hour, we're talking all about children and social media. And we've just heard from Joe from the Safety Centre, also known as Hazard Alley, about some really surprising stats. And actually, I mean, so many people are online, John, and it's not surprising that children are now online as well. It's just embedded in our culture. But there are some quite surprising stats at kind of how young children are and they're using social media.
Yeah, well, I remember that I wasn't allowed a phone, even though when I was younger, phones didn't have internet on them.
Yes.
But I remember I wasn't allowed a phone until I was kind of mid-teens and when I started going out and seeing my friends. But to know that 52% of 3 to 4 year olds are online, that's quite surprising. Mm. And then if you look at 12 to 15 year olds and that age gap, 99% of kids are online. 70% I think have social media profiles.
Wow.
So some might just be gaming online, but if you look at social media specifically, 70% of kids across the country have got a social media profile in some way or another.
And there are some implications and some risks that that can have on children, isn't there, Joe?
Absolutely. I think children are naturally trusting, so they don't realise the dangers of being online. It's much easier to understand the danger of getting hit when you cross the road, but actually the online dangers, those virtual dangers, are much, much harder for children to understand.
So what are some of the dangers then? I suppose a lot of it might be to do with speaking to strangers online and you don't really know who you're talking to.
Absolutely. Lots of children, when they're gaming, will have lots of friends, in inverted commas, online, but it'll turn out that they don't know them, they don't know who they are. And those people could be absolutely anybody. They set up a profile, they can, you know, make up the information about themselves. Mm. And when you're gaming online and they're going to help you get to the next level of the game or whatever, children are going to begin to think that they are a friend and that they've got something in common. So really, really dangerous. And I think some adults, not every adult, but some adults are very, very good at getting to know children and gaining their trust and becoming friends with them online.
Yes. And I suppose in turn with that, if you feel like you have a friend that you're speaking to daily, that you're gaming with and stuff like that, you then might be more likely to share your personal information with them as well.
Yes. I mean, there's all sorts of stories of children being duped into sending photographs, perhaps of parts of their body, and it's not going to be shared. And then, of course, the person that's received it threatens to share it. So they're essentially blackmailing.
Well, they'll have collateral, won't they? And they'll have leverage against that young person to say, do X, Y, and Z, or I'm going to release this. Mm. Or you could use that for anything, whether it is personal information, whether it is anything.
And once that picture's gone, it's been sent, it's out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, things get shared and replicated online incredibly quickly. And once it's gone, recovering it is practically impossible.
Yeah. And the users of different social media platforms is kind of changing. So these recent stats that came out is saying that young people are less likely to use Facebook and Snapchat is massively on the rise. Mm. And it might be, not that this is the sole reason, it might just be a better platform, I don't know. But one thing to consider with Snapchat is that pictures, videos, they're kind of a one-time, or considered a one-time thing, and it'll disappear in 3-10 seconds or whatever. But it doesn't necessarily mean that that picture has actually disappeared. No. Someone could take a screenshot. It might be that they've saved it without you knowing. Mm. So I think that there is this perception that, yes, it's gone forever, but it's not always the case.
Everybody has something called a digital footprint. So every time you're posting all those pictures, all of that information, everything you're sharing is contributing to your digital footprint.
Yeah, it's so being saved somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be there.
And certainly if you don't know who you're speaking to, if you're just speaking to a username or even on Facebook or Snapchat, someone adds you and it could be a fake name, fake pictures, that's really easy just to pull off Google Images. you have no idea who you're speaking to and what they're capable of searching for or being able to hack into. So there's a lot of risk.
If you send an image to five people and those five people all send it to five people and then that all of those people send it to five more people, you can see how quickly something can be replicated hundreds, thousands, millions of times.
And the worry is it does happen quite frequently. But we've got some kind of tips and helpful advice. Something that you do at the Safety Centre is kind of all about precautionary things, some things you can do in prep to make sure that these things kind of don't crop up. We're going to talk more about those after Katy Perry, Teenage Dream, which plays for you next.
The MK Mental Health Hour with 123 Internet Group. MKFM.
Katy Perry and Teenage Dream on MKFM. This is the MK Mental Health Hour. Tonight we're talking all about children and social media. We've just touched on a few of the kind of impacts and risks that there are of children being online, and so many of them online. But of course it's not all doom and gloom, and children need to use kind of online platforms. They don't want to be kind of feeling left out at school, and you know, a lot of schools and kind of teaching platforms are online now as well. But there are some really helpful kind of proactive things that parents can do to make sure, kind of from the get-go, Joe, that to make sure that people are kind of safe online.
Absolutely. I think one thing that parents can do is think about their own behaviour online, how much time they're on social media devices, when they're on them. So I think, you know, if they're not sitting at the dining table on their phones, then their kids aren't going to see that happening. So I think parents have got to think about how much time they're spending online and what sorts of things they're doing. I think they need to be talking to their children as much as possible. I think communication, sharing what you're looking at online, them talking about what they're doing online and asking their kids what they're doing online. So those kind of open, honest conversations about what's going on is really healthy. You know, just as you would as a parent about all sorts of other aspects of your child's life. I think going back to the digital footprint that we were talking about before, I think parents don't often realise how much sharing they're doing of their family lives. You know, putting photographs on Facebook, you know, there's every moment of your family's life could be in the public domain. Yes. You could unwittingly be giving lots of information about where your child goes to school if there's a photograph and they're in their school uniform, for example. So just kind of thinking about what you're doing yourself.
It's
as
just
a starting
being a bit
point,
conscious of it, isn't it?
It's a good place to think about it.
So many people just do that as a, it's just like a reaction. And you see kind of friends that are sharing pictures of their children, first day of school and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But you don't really think about the implications of sharing, you know, where your child does go to school and
yes,
those kind of things.
Yeah, and who it's being shared with. Mm. You know, there are all sorts of settings on all of these social media apps, and it's thinking about who's seeing that picture, who's receiving it. So if you're kind of thinking about your own behaviour and trying to get it right, then you're more likely to get it right for your kids.
I'd like to raise tagging as well, because I think that is also another danger, because if parents are tagging their child in it, if they've got a a profile as a child, maybe they're posting a school picture, but then also their friends get tagged in it. So it's not necessarily just impacting your child as well, but it's making sure that you're protecting the others that are in the photo.
That's true.
Because I think there's been quite a few instances where people have done it as an example of how dangerous those kind of pictures can be, and it's shown that they know when, or someone looking into it might know when you're out the house, they know your schedule, all of this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So parents being vigilant is really, really important. What else in terms of modelling? Because the first point was kind of like modelling behaviour on how to demonstrate you're doing the right things as a parent. Because I see parents giving iPads and giving different online tools to children to keep them occupied. So is there a way around that? Because I would say if you're looking at wellbeing in general, there are those 5 points I think we covered in the self-care show. Mm. Which is all focused around taking notice of what's around you, being active, and connecting, like in terms of physical connection, not necessarily through an online platform. But all of these different things are kind of taken away when you get an iPad or any other tablet, other tablets are available.
Well done.
Thrust into your face.
Yes.
So how would parents be able to kind of moderate that if it's something that's really convenient and they've got other things to do? What might be they be able to do to avoid just relying on the tablet too much?
I think conversations between children and adults and having that good relationship is a good starting point.
I suppose you can put some things into place, can't you, where you can moderate the amount that children use, and starting from a young age, like you say, with communication.
Yeah, no, and you can make family agreements, and there's all sorts of resources online, and you can sort of download examples of family agreements and then kind of sit and make that together.
Yeah.
I mean, I think taking the technology away is absolutely the worst thing you can do. That kind of sets up a confrontation and sets up a disagreement.
Like a punishment.
It can be
keep
damaging.
Keep talking and kind of keep that relationship going and have that trust. I think to a certain extent you do have to trust children that once you've kind of made those agreements and you've got the settings, you know, the privacy settings or the location settings on your devices, that you've looked at the minimum ages that children should be on particular apps and playing games and agreed that, you know, you're going to stick to those, then, you know, when you let your children get on with being online, they're doing it as safely as possible because you've put those things in place.
And actually that's a really good point about kind of identifying the parental controls on all of the devices and making sure that they're kind of up to your standard and how you want to control your child's
and all
behavior.
The phone companies will have the advice and guidance, and you just need to spend some time finding out where they are
exactly
and putting them on, you know.
So it's all about communication from the get-go, from a young age, and being proactive rather than reactive. Some more great tips on the way after Maroon 5 now. This is Memories on MKFM. Maroon 5 and Memories on MKFM. So we've just heard about some great tips if you have got a child that is using social media, some kind of proactive things that you can put in place, like modelling and moderating and being kind of proactive rather than reactive. But if you haven't got those already in place, there are some signs that parents should look out for if their child is online and they're worried about that, aren't there, John?
Yeah, we don't want people at home thinking, oh, we haven't got any of this stuff in place, so we're... we're failing
stressing
or anything
out
like that. But there's an awful lot that you can do in the meantime. So we're going to cover those in a minute. But certainly with children who are active online or active on social media, if they are beginning to find or experience some issues with it, whether that is related to cyberbullying, whether it's related to overusage and that's impacting their well-being, then there are certain changes and things that you can look for to help you get these things in place. Because it might be, and people probably experience, that it's probably quite difficult and the children are probably quite reluctant if you begin taking things away.
Yes.
So having those concerns to raise and things to fall back on to say, I've noticed X, Y, and Z, and this is what we're going to do to solve it, can help to facilitate that conversation.
So what are some of those signs that we should be looking out for?
General changes in characteristics. So if your child or young person is typically very outgoing, and then all of a sudden they become more isolated, maybe they are spending a lot more time in their bedroom on their device, whether that is gaming console, whether it's a laptop, a computer, anything like that, maybe they're beginning to isolate themselves a little bit. And that could be from the family, but it could also be that you're noticing that they're not mentioning certain friends as much anymore,
right,
or not seeing certain friends as much anymore. And that could be that they're involved in whatever's going on online. It could also be things like changes in appetite. Depending on what the bullying is, we know that there's an awful lot of body image bullying out there that goes on. So it could be that their appetite changes, or they start all of a sudden getting really involved in exercise at a young age in order to start improving the way that they look. That could also mean that they are getting really embedded into following certain influencers that are contouring, you know, at 8 years old, and looking at different types of makeup and all of that sort of stuff. So just changes in what their specific focus is on is a good way to start identifying that maybe they're getting a little bit too involved in what's going on online.
So then if you do identify some of those changes, there are still a few things that people can do. Joe, you mentioned about there being certain kind of monitoring apps, even just to kind of keep a check of what your children are doing online.
Yeah, there are apps that you can download that help you monitor what your children are looking at online. You can also get apps that will count how much time you're spending online, which might be, you know, you, as a whole family, you could do that and then yes. kind of compare. So then it becomes something that you're talking about and something that you're sharing.
It's another conversation starter, isn't it?
Yeah, so instead of your Fitbit, you have your online counter yeah. and kind of, you know, and actually see who can be on it the least rather than on the most.
That's a great idea.
You know, lots of it is just about being open, communicating. There's loads of resources online that are for parents and children. So there's little videos, things that you could actually look at together and talk about together. Those conversations are taking place.
One of the rules that we always had in my household when I was growing up was that I had to use the computer in our living room. I only had a certain amount of time that I could use it, and I had to use it within the living room. And I thought that was a really good idea. At the time, I did not like it, being 14 and wanting to be on MSN with all my mates. But actually, that's probably another good thing to do as well.
I think, yeah, using devices in family spaces is a good idea. Or if you're online in your bedroom, that you keep the bedroom door open. So again, it's just a lot of it is about good communication between parents and their children, and negotiating, you know, having that family agreement in place about what they will do and will have access to, and then trusting your children. I think if there's you've had that conversation and you're trusting them to do what you've agreed to do, then that's the healthiest place to be in terms of online activity.
I think as well, we've mentioned as well during songs that sometimes parents don't quite know how to use the phone as well as the children.
Yeah.
So get the children to teach you how to download an app, how to set parental controls. Do it as a joint thing so that they are they're bought into it a little bit more, and they know why you're doing it, and explain your concerns. So if you have noticed the different changes in behaviours that we mentioned earlier, then raise those with them. Say that we've noticed these changes and we think it might be related to your online usage. And this is what we're going to start getting in place.
Brilliant. Well, some more helpful tips on the way after Medusa. Lose Control is on the way for you right after this.
The MK Mental Health Hour with 123 Internet Group. MKFM.
Medusa and Lose Control on MKFM. Good evening, it's Leah with you for another MK Mental Health Hour. Tonight we're talking all about children and social media, and I think it's safe to say that the kind of the main theme of the evening is actually to kind of have that open and honest relationship with your child when you're setting up kind of parental controls throughout the entire process of them using social media, kind of having those open discussions. And we were just chatting during that song, Joe, about kind of in the unlikely event that if something did kind of go wrong with your child when they're using social media, then they're probably more likely to come to you then and ask for your advice and for your help.
Absolutely. And I think it's really important that children and young people do know that there is a trusted adult, whether it's a parent or somebody else, that they can go to if they feel unsafe. And I think it is really tricky, because if you think you've done something foolish online, it's really hard to admit to somebody that you've done that.
Yeah, and it's difficult to do that even as an adult, but let alone a child, you know, to feel like they've done something.
And I think, you know, the way things kind of work online, you know, you could have been talking to somebody for quite a long time, and you could be quite deep into something that's going on that you suddenly think, oh, actually, I want to get out of this. But then you don't want to admit that you've done something foolish online. So if those good conversations and open relationships are in place, then it should be much easier for a child to say, actually, this has happened. And as soon as you kind of talk to an adult, it can be sorted out.
Yes.
You know, there's somewhere that adult can go and get that situation dealt with.
And everyone will have relationships with their children, of course, but if you can facilitate a relationship specifically around online safety and have those things in place, like family shared areas, and you catch up about what's going on Facebook, and it becomes a natural thing that you guys discuss, then it won't be as much of a daunting prospect to reach out if there is something wrong.
As natural as saying, you know, how was school today, you know, how was Facebook today.
How yeah, was, what's your feed
yeah.
been like?
Yeah. Trying to be cool and down with the kids and kind of keep within their circle. But it's really important. And I suppose the other thing is not to worry so much, because it can be quite a daunting thing talking all about this. And if in the unlikely event that something does go wrong. But there are things in place, aren't there, John, that are there to help you
absolutely.
You need them.
Yeah. At the end of the day, yes, there are a lot of risks involved with it, but there's a huge amount of positives as well from social media, if it's used in the right way. Games as well can be really, there's some really good games out there that are very educational. People can actually learn something from, believe it or not. And like we said at the beginning, and what Joe said, is that we need to be online. That's the way that schools are going. It's everything like that. So we need to be accustomed to using all of this stuff. And if anything does go wrong, then you can block things, mm-hmm. you can report things. Yeah. If you get those monitoring apps, then you can keep an eye on it. So you can keep on top and block and report as soon as possible. And then there's a variety of different places that people can go, like Childline, for example, have a number, 0800 1111.
Yep.
Which is something Hazard Alley do in a really cute little...
Yeah, it doesn't work on the radio at all.
No, it doesn't work on the radio. It's hand signals and stuff.
To make the numbers. Yeah. So every child that comes to Hazard Alley learns how to do that. So, you know, a call or an email to Childline would put things in motion if there was
absolutely.
Any need to.
So there's always something to do, which is going to help the situation.
Absolutely. As always, some fantastic tips and advice on this evening's show. We do have an expert guide, which is released every single week, that goes kind of alongside the MK Mental Health Hour. We'll tell you how you can get your hands on that after Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber. Now, this is I Don't Care on MKFM. Ed Sheeran, Justin Bieber, I Don't Care on MKFM. So on the Mental Health Hour this evening, we've been talking all about children and social media. So many great tips as always, John. Just run through a quick recap if you don't mind.
Yeah, well, we've got to consider that a lot of young people use social media, a lot of children are online. A lot of the time we can't avoid it because of school and because of different things and peer pressure and just the way society is going. So we can set certain things up, like how are we using social media? So is our behaviour modelling what we want our children to do? Do we have different privacy settings in place? Have we got location settings set up? Maybe there are certain parental controls that we can get in place as well. And making it a normal conversation. So discussing how we use our usage online, and making it a normal conversation around the family, and making sure that children use shared family spaces when they are using their devices. So if they're on a tablet, if they're on their computer, making sure that it's in a shared space, or you can keep the door left open if they're using it in their room. You can also get monitoring apps, so you can download apps that actually monitor different downloads, what your child is doing online, and don't worry too much. There's a lot of worry that's circulating around this, and ultimately if anything does happen, then things can be blocked, they can be reported, and there's actually a child exploitation for online protection button, which reports called a CEOP button.
Right.
So have a little look at that. See which platforms your children use that has one, and make sure you know where it is, just in case you do ever need it.
So lots of proactive things that you can be doing as a parent to look after your children online. If people want to find out more details, we do have an expert guide over on your website. John, just remind us of what that is.
Yes, it's arthurellismhs.com.
Lovely. And thank you so much for joining us today, Joe, from the Safety Centre, also known as Hazard Alley. If people want to find out more details about the work that you do, how can people do that?
Best to look at our website, so safetycentre.co.uk.
Brilliant. Well, thank you both so much for another great Mental Health
Thank
Hour.
You.
And
see you later.
We will be back same time next week.
The MK Mental Health Hour and MKFM.